Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will discuss the difference between material beliefs and spiritual understanding. Listen as we explain what it means to be spiritual and how to know the difference between pretending and truth. In this show, we will talk about some of the tried and true guidelines of a legitimate spiritual experience and the many ways it falls short of the mark. To heal oneself and others is the best test of a spiritual practice. Here we will explore what to do when there is no ring of the true metal. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience spiritual reality. So Swami, my question to you was earlier this week is, how do we go about living spiritually? Do we have to get rid of our desire for materialism?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, I think so. I don't think you can mix it. The more research that I do with this and the more I try and understand it, that I think a lot of what we call being spiritual is just a continuation of living out of the world with a false belief that what we're doing is spiritual. And that's why I really like what we said in the opening. It's the whole concept of healing, putting healing on the table. And how to employ that, how to use it as a guideline to troubleshoot exactly what you're doing. Because if you think you're spiritual and yet you are experiencing sickness and suffering in your own personal life, then it doesn't prove out scientifically. But if you think that you're spiritual, your life is in perfect harmony, and you also have the capacity to heal others, which is, I think, the highest octave of understanding ourselves spiritually. And a lot of the research that we've been doing lately is really about understanding just how do we do that? How does that work? How did Jesus look at somebody spiritually and whatever was ailing them disappeared? And to understand what that's all about is really the science of Kriya Yoga. A lot of the direction that quantum physics is taking us is really starting to understand the role of consciousness, that observation has effect on reality. But what a lot of the research that's coming from the scientific community is not taking into consideration is the difference between the lower mind and the higher mind. And that's what I think we could really focus on in this particular show, because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's Romans 8:6. From the Bible. And as we start to drill down a little bit deeper with these terms, that we start to see that carnal minded or the lower mind functions primarily on duality. It picks up what we'll call the testimony of our senses. We have sensual awareness of duality. And the reason being is that we call it duality because it's in half. It has split from this unified state. it manifests in half, but then it leaves behind this complementary unmanifested other part. That framework of reality gives us a better understanding of how thinking with the lower mind kind of keeps us at this limited sense of who we are. And that was referred to as death, because the manifested world is provisional. It's temporary. It's in constant change. But this concept of spirit and being spiritually minded is life and peace, and it's eternal life. It's not a mix of life and death. It is just pure life. It is pure. It is absolute. And that's the thing, is that to understand ourselves spiritually, we must understand ourselves from the perspective of wholeness. That's why the goal of Kriya Yoga is total consciousness. Not that we want to just be able to live out of the fragmented view of the appearances of our reality, but we want to pierce through that, and we want to see the cause of creation. We want to see the spiritual underpinnings of reality, which is whole, only it doesn't report, it isn't receptive to our senses, to the lower mind. And we can't be attached to duality and have attention for spirit, that there is this conversion that has to take place. We have to separate from our attachment to duality and then join with this concept of truth and wholeness, with this dimension of reality where everything is in unity. And from that perspective, that's when we're joining with life, eternal life, love, happiness, goodness, peace, harmony, perfect harmony, absolute harmony.
So we have to go from being carnally minded to being spiritually minded. So how does that look like when we're doing that? What's like the first thing that we should do?
Well, I think it starts with, first of all, understanding how it's working. And then I love the term in the Bible. It's called repent. And like we have been saying, it doesn't mean to plead for forgiveness. But repent means to think differently. And basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to go from thinking humanly, thinking carnally, thinking sensually, which is basically our ability to function in duality. And to start off, you have to understand that duality is a reality that is apart from what was called God. Goodness, unity, the one. The first order of business is we have to understand that we are in a false sense of existence. That's why the term awaken, because this false sense of existence is really kind of like a mirage. It is an illusion. It's not real. And it is all based on a dynamic. The only reason why it appears to us is because we accept it and we believe in it. It is fueled by our belief. It is fueled by human recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not backed by truth. It's not backed by the creative principle of the universe. Which means that the only thing that keeps it alive is our attention for it. Now, once we change our focus, recognize the presence of spirit, the presence of the invisible and the intangible as the true reality, and we have attention for that, then we can start to understand the ideas that are coming from that, and then we can start to live out from it. But we have to separate from our attachment to duality, which is fear and limitation.
So some of us have a lot of work to do, I think, to making sure everything that we see around us, we see it as spirit. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And that's what namaste in yoga means. I bow to the divinity within you. It's one thing to say these things, and it's another thing to be spiritual, to recognize that every person out there is the reflection of perfect creation, and not see the testimony of our senses is bringing before us, which is primarily the sin, the sickness, the suffering that we're all trapped in. It's our belief in that that keeps us imprisoned in it, and we don't even realize that. And that was what I would say the goal of religion should be, is to educate us in how to get out of this. It was called the dream of Adam, out of this delusion that we're in, that we think we're a body. We think that we're separate from divine law, divine love.
So you had mentioned earlier about praying to God for things. How do you suggest, how do you recommend that we maybe pray for God for guidance in becoming more spiritually minded?
Yeah, just the term prayer alone, from my perspective, I really prefer to use, rather than P-R-A-Y, I really prefer to use P-R-E-Y. Once you understand that spirit, divine presence, is your source of sustenance, it is your primary source of sustenance, it is where life originates from. We don't get our sustenance from the outside world, that all true life originates from the presence of divine law. But if we don't have attention for that, and we think that we need things from the outside world, there's a whole different exchange of energy that's at work here. So prayer really isn't a question of asking God for things, which is typically what we do. We really try and use our religion, we try and use this concept of God as kind of like some sort of commodity that we can use to enrich our worldly experience. But in reality, God is a different reality in and of itself. And what we're really trying to do is join with it. We want to live out from this other dimension of reality. We want to literally get off the grid. We want to get out of the fear. If we are living in the fear and we are talking up to this separate concept of a divinity, it isn't going to work. When you pray and you recognize that you live out of divine law, so this concept of praying really is just like foxes prey on rabbits. The human in the adult state preys on the life force. It preys on the presence of divine law. That changes our exchange of energy with our environment. That we're no longer drawing off of, we no longer have affection for things that are visible and tangible, or the other barrier are things that are invisible but tangible, thoughts, visions. That's equally as problematic. Whereas if you have attention for this invisible, intangible source, unity, consciousness, wholeness, divine law, you call it whatever it is. But remember, it is invisible, it's intangible, and it does not register in our normal mode of thinking. But we can develop what's called spiritual understanding, a soul sense. That is what we call the higher mind. And living out from the higher mind gives us advantages that we can't get any other way.
Mm. We're going to pause right here to listen to a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, the title of our show is Awaken from the Dream of Materialism. And so I have a question for you, is that, you know, earlier we had talked about good and evil, but I've been reading recently that there is no such thing as evil. Everything is good because God is good. So if that's the case, why would we want to awaken from the dream?
Well, the dream itself is a belief in good and evil. And good and evil isn't reliable. The concept of enlightenment or total consciousness is really this awakening into the reality of what you said, divine law, the presence of the allness of goodness, the absolute goodness of God. And that's why you'd want to awaken from this mesmerism, from this hypnotic trance that we're in this false sense of existence, which is exactly what it is. And moving from the lower mind, which is the changing conditions of our personal mentality, and moving into what is called divine mind, unity consciousness, total consciousness, however you want to phrase that, it is living out of a sense of awareness of the allness of goodness. The way that I can describe it to you best is if you were to look at truth, the term truth, and it means that the human is made in the reflection of the divine. That kind of gives you a clue into how this works, because if you were to look at the moon in a lake, in a pristine, still, crystal clear lake, at night, the reflection of the moon is identical. And so that's kind of like when our lives are going great, when everything is seemingly going great in the appearances of our outside world. And then somebody throws a pebble into the pond and it kind of distorts the view of the moon. And then maybe the wind starts to blow. And now what starts to happen is that this perfect reflection is distorted. And from that distortion, then we start to react to the appearance of the moon. We start to look at it and we think, you know, oh, the moon is falling apart. It's changing. And that becomes the dynamics of living out of the changing conditions of our personal mentality. That's why in metaphysics, sin, sickness, suffering is not real. And the reason it's not real is because it's not backed by divine law. And the other thing is it's not real because all of the disturbance that happens on this lake that distorts the perspective that you have of the moon doesn't change the moon one iota, that the moon is still in its perfect state of being. all of our reactions to it don't affect the moon. And that's how healing takes place. That as long as we hold our attention on the reflection, on effect, and we don't turn around and look at cause, then we continue to perpetuate the distorted feeling because we react to the appearance, which continues to disturb the surface of the changing conditions of the personal mentality. And the more we could still our minds, the more we could still see that reflection. But remember, you're still looking at a reflection. It's not the real, it's not the moon that you're looking at. You're looking at a reflection. So even when the picture is perfect, it's not the moon. It's not real. And in the process of moving from material beliefs to spiritual understanding, basically what we're doing is we're moving from using the testimony of our senses, from using sensual perception as our sole source of understanding, and now we're including and turning and looking at spirit. We're looking at unity consciousness. We're looking at the divine mind that holds the template for perfect creation, that this concept of spirit has an agenda and it upholds perfect harmony in its creation. And so moving from human thought, human beliefs, to understanding ourselves spiritually, moving ourselves to understanding divine law, is living out of the true image of the moon. If that makes any sense.
That's a very good analogy. So earlier you had talked about repenting. I believe that to mean to think differently. And what we say in Kriya Yoga is how we think is what we become. And so in our notes, we say that to think materially, we become mortal. And thinking spiritually, we become eternal. Well, can we become eternal just by thinking?
Well, again, when we're left to our own devices, we have to be thinking something. We have to be living out of somewhere. That just to make a vague, obscure thing that by, you know, just like we say, how we think is what we become is general. Because if I'm living out of the changing conditions of my personal mentality and I'm identifying with duality, which is fear and limitation, it's a dimension of reality we're all familiar with. But it's not going to lead to truth and wholeness. Just by thinking or awareness, it's very important that what you're aware of, because you have to think with God as God in order to achieve the benefit of this perspective that comes with looking directly and living directly out of the cause of all creation, as opposed to living out of the effect, which is just the reflection. And the term thinking, well, they're both thinking, but it's very different. Just like looking at the reflection in a lake is very different than looking directly at the moon. And one of the major things is like we were saying, the clear perspective of looking directly at the moon is that there's less possibility of any kind of interference with your image. Whereas if you are looking in the reflection, if you're trying to live life out of the effect, out of a reality that is based in the testimony of our senses, then it's subject to change. And sometimes it could be good and sometimes it could be bad, because that's the nature of that dimension, because it's a mix of good and evil. Whereas to live out of divine law, to live out of divine mind or total consciousness, it is wholeness. It is absolute. It is pure love. It is absolute love. It's not a mix. There's no distortion. And the other thing is that it's changeless. It is not susceptible to the same rules that the lake or the reflection or the manifested world is subject to, the limitations of that dimension.
We recited this quote before by C.S. Lewis, and I really like it a lot. It's, aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in. Aim for earth, we get neither. And I'm taking that to mean heaven as spiritual and looking for God, and earth obviously meaning materialism, like what this show is all about. Can we have your thoughts on this quote?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That if we continue to live out of the testimony of our senses, if we live out of our worldly understanding of ourselves, then in the final analysis, we wind up with nothing. It's kind of like Jesus said in the Bible, what does it profit a human to gain the whole world but lose your soul? And so in the framework of our putting our efforts into what we want to do, the instruction that's in the Bible that says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven is, I want to say, you know, you couldn't get better advice. But what is that going to look like when I'm doing it? It gets really convoluted and distorted because a lot of people think living out of the testimony of their senses, living out from the world, is being spiritual. And even sometimes when we renounce the world, we move into the astral mental dimension, which is invisible but tangible, the world of thoughts, but it's also dualistic. And doing things mentally, doing things with human will, has limitations as well. But for us to understand ourselves spiritually, to understand ourselves from the perspective of divine law, from truth and wholeness, that's optimal. Because now you're dealing with the unchanging state of perfect creation, perfect harmony. And so when C.S. Lewis is saying, aim for heaven, earth gets thrown in it, because it is now encompassing it all. But if you approach your life coming from the perspective of earth, you're in a fragmented, kind of distorted, false reality that you're working through and trying to make sense out of. And in the final analysis, you wind up with nothing because it doesn't work. You're going to have to come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm. I think we have time for just maybe one more quick question, maybe. In our summary, we said, to heal oneself and others is the best test of a spiritual practice. So the question is to you is, why is that the best test of a spiritual practice? What does healing have to do with being the test?
Well, healing makes what you're doing demonstrable so that cause and effect are in sync. That if you are living in harmony with divine law, which is perfect creation, there should be no sin, sickness, suffering, or death. And from that perspective, when you are looking out at the testimony of your senses and you find discord, you find an abnormal physical condition, then the first thing you know is that it's not real. But if it is presenting itself, you also know that it is there because you believe it's there. Because it doesn't have the backing of divine law, the thing that is fueling it is your belief in it. And so it puts the responsibility always back on us, and it also gives us the opportunity to change how we're thinking.
Wow, great show. So it's almost time to start closing down our program for today. So listeners, please be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can make posts and comments about this show. Keep those comments coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Next week, we'll have another great show for you. Also, be sure to tune in to our Wednesday night, 5 o'clock Facebook Live sessions that we do every week. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would encourage people to try and make that change in their perspective and their understanding of themselves, and maybe start to get the benefit of spiritual understanding when it is employed in your everyday life. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.